Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
I have been having issues with Start Meeting. They basically are having server-side issues. So, you know, there's issues with reporting the meeting, connecting to the platform. So we'll just see how we do.
Yes. Well, you know, that just seems to be the name of the game.
Par for the course.
We're having difficulties. We'll just see how we do.
Exactly. So our assignment from yesterday, notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment, review the statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices. I need to research everything there is about X so I don't miss out on anything important. Belief, having information is key to not missing out on life. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, well, here we go. Let me try. I'm going to try a phone call. It feels like anyone who's connected via computer might be having issues, but let's try this. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi there. It's Todd in Seattle.
Oh, thank goodness. There you are, Todd.
You can hear me. Okay. Yay.
Yeah, perfectly. Yay. In Seattle. All right. How are you doing?
Well, we're the hot spot up here, so doing lots of practice, that's for sure, lots of practice. The one thing that I notice when I do, you know, the exercises and then all from last year is it seems like almost every time either the first or second belief and assumption I have is there's something wrong with me. And I'm just struck. And, you know, I mean, I think it's no coincidence that that's the name of the major book, because there's something wrong with us. But I'm just struck that, you know, no matter what the topic is, no matter what it seems to be, it always comes back to that basic, like, well, what's wrong with you, Todd? You know, you can't do beginnings because there's something wrong. You'll start a beginning and it'll end. Or, you know, you'll be excited about a beginning, put some money into it, put some effort into it, and then a month or two, it'll fade away. And then once again, then that's where it comes back to, well, what do you expect, Todd?
So my favorite cousin was colorblind. And I don't know if you've ever spent a lot of time with anybody who's colorblind, but it's an interesting little journey into, wow, how we see the world is simply how we see the world. Wow, Ashwini, am I as garbled as I sound in my own ears?
Well, there's an echo, Sherry, but I don't know what we could do about it.
Okay, all right, we'll just go with what is. So at any rate, it was a very long time before he got it, that what he was seeing was not what anybody else was seeing. Right? That the colors he was looking at were not the colors anybody else was looking at. And that what the names for the colors, everybody's using the same name, but they're having a completely different experience.
Yeah.
To me, that's what you're up against.
Okay?
That you're looking through a lens. Mm-hmm. And that lens is called, there's something wrong with Todd.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything wrong with Todd? No. There's something we could say, let's go out on a limb here. There's something wrong with the lens. There's something wrong with Todd lens. And we have to go through that process, just as my beloved cousin did, of getting it, that experience is not real. Okay, all that has to be in quotes. But even though It's such a basic belief that it almost feels like the ground of being, right? It's just so deeply, deeply, deeply assumed, right? And so that's going to be your work right now, is to focus on that, and every time it comes up, you have to say to yourself, no. That's not green. Only in your case, it's going to be no. That is not true.
Yeah.
That is not reality. That has nothing to do with me. And it's going to be that kind of process. And you know, Todd, it's not any different from what the rest of us are up against.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're up against is that what we're looking through is not reality.
Yeah.
And so the very thing that we have been taught to count on, to know, to understand, to be all right, is not, we could say, is the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So the mind that you have trusted to take care of you is the mind that says, consistently, well, you can't be all right, Todd, because there's something wrong with you.
Sure.
And so every time you look to that mind, that system, it's going to give you bad information.
Yeah.
So you got to stop looking to it. And that is a process.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fortunately for you, you do awareness practice, and that's what awareness practice is.
Yeah.
is helping us move from to conditioned mind for what is true. No, I can't look there because it's not giving me what is true. It's giving me a pack of lies designed to further its ambition. I had it this morning, in fact, that it really, ego really is a virus, right? It wants to keep a person in a place where it is being fed. Now, once in a while, it goes too far, and it kills its host, which is not its intention, right? And so the parallel is exact, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the coronavirus and the ego virus, and they are exact parallels, as far as I know, not being a medical person.
Well, and yeah, and that's so helpful because there's so much fear around the virus right now, and that's
fear and ego is fear.
And ego is fear, exactly. So, wow, so helpful, Sherry. Thank you so much. Like I said, I just wanted to spend a while.
You are so welcome.
Yeah,
it's so good when we realize that our practice is very, very simple. Now, as people point out, that doesn't mean it's easy, but it is very simple.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Todd. Sherry, the thing that we were looking at recently is how much that orientation, that lens that we normally look through, is not something that can see itself. So we're not aware of the bias, right? That's why it's awareness practice. That there's an awareness that we have to build that we are looking through a lens that cannot be trusted, and that's not the only lens that we need to have.
Right. But in fact, it is, we could say, a very wrong lens.
Exactly.
If we're looking at our well-being. Yeah.
Well, and it's like if you can't see your own bias, then you don't know you have one, right? And that's really what we're all grappling with in so many ways.
That's exactly it.
And to me, that's why the exercises that we do on this retreat are important, because they're questions that allow us to get a picture of the bias that we all have. Because unless we answer these questions, there's no way of eliciting the shape of the lens that I'm looking through.
Yes. Yeah. And what's going to be revealed as we answer these questions and do these exercises, what's going to be revealed is the process that we're that is causing us to keep going down that same track, to keep looking through that same lens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I think that as the retreat progresses, we're going to see we're going to see how to switch the bias, right? But the first place to start is to really become aware of the bias. And our practice provides very specific questions to articulate that process and that bias. And it's important that we get really specific about it in different processes and different content, because that's what reveals what we need to know in order to make a different choice.
Yes, and the tragedy for us, and the good news for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, is that a situation like we're in now so reinforces ego.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, all that awareness stuff is great, but not now. You need to survive. And I can help you survive, and that is the biggest lie of all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Hello, Chris. Tell us about beginnings.
Hi, sure. Okay, so beginnings. What I've been seeing is, conditioning has a lot of beliefs around beginnings and what's possible at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
So a concrete example is the thought, you're so out of practice that you can't be present.
Ooh. Oh, you gotta love those, huh? Boy, Chris, you really want to be present for that message, right? Because otherwise, that's a killer.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. So, I was seeing a whole subcategory of all of these kinds of beliefs that are because of XYZ, it means something about what's available to you right now.
Uh-huh. So your possibilities, the beliefs, just bring your possibilities down to what the voice in your head is going to tell you is possible for you, which, as we've established, is nothing.
Exactly. It's usually what it's angling for is the only thing that's possible right now is this conditioned behavior or whatever you're going to do next, and you just can't do anything else but that, and so you just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it's just the verb that comes to mind is that's just maintenance.
Yes, and that, I hope other people are really hearing what you're saying, because that process of, there's nothing else available to you, and so this is your only choice, and so this is what you have to do, is often not stated quite that clearly, right? That's the nature of beliefs and assumptions. There's a way for that to be communicated to you that isn't going to be in the kind of full sentences that will enable a person to catch on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
It's just
something we know. You just know it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it for you. You just know that. In quotes.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a verbal expression necessarily, but it's so close to home that it just feels like what's true, which is so deceptive.
Yeah, you just know it. That's how so much of this happens to us. If that voice in our head really laid it out, okay, Chris, there's nothing else available to you in this moment, okay? There's this one thing that is possible for you, and so you just need to do that. You're contrary to what it wants you to believe, you would definitely be present enough to hear that and go, what? That's insane. I mean, even in our most conditioned world, it's never true that we only have one option.
Right.
There's
right.
only one option that ego is angling for, but that's not the same as we only have one option. Yeah. Well, that's
you
very
just
good,
cut out
isn't it?
There, but we're still, okay, we're still confused. Can you still hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
yes.
So we're together on this. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And so where does that leave you? Where does that leave you, Chris?
Well, I just happened to be lucky enough to, you know, have that good fortune of having something drop in that I had heard once in the last year-long retreat. You and Ashwini were talking about the that this is a practice of interruption.
Uh-huh. That sounds very Ashwini. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so how did you apply that?
I loved it because it's something I heard once, and I guess intelligence kept it for when it clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came out in the phrase of, you can always begin fresh.
Exactly so. And of course, I've known you for a while, not eons, but I've known you for a while. And so I've watched you go through beginning after beginning after beginning after beginning that the voices were saying, no, this is never going to work. You can't do that. No, you cannot do that. That is never going to work. And you just systematically did that. And then that led to the next, and you did that, and then that led to now, and then you did that. And so, to me, it's just always comforting to realize when we have stepped back in this way that, wow, what a pack of nonsense that is. There's just no truth to it.
And it's really, really with that support. I mean, I can just echo what Sangha has been saying the past few days since we started again, just how lucky we all are. I mean, that alone. Because I had tried to do that interruption unguided and without any support for years, and it didn't work. I could maybe get a glimpse sometimes, but it was so hard out there.
And then we all, without any kind of support, wind up where Todd was describing. That sooner or later, the conditioning is going to come in and say, see, I told you, see, you failed again, see? Yeah. Oh, that's so
right,
good.
Just me.
Thank you,
yourself.
Chris.
Yep, of course.
Yep, always. At our expense, always. Yeah, all right. Take good care.
You too.
All right, thanks, bye-bye.
Chris. My favorite interrupt, Sherry, is to record everything that's going on in your head. I mean, that's why we want to record it, to get it out of the head, to actually listen to it. And when we listen to it, we see the assumption that we're not allowed to hear, right? Because the content in that swimming in the, okay, this is how it is, nothing is revealed because it's a vague sense of knowing. But as soon as you pick up the recorder and attempt to put onto the recorder what it is that's swimming around there, like articulate it, the unconscious has to come into conscious awareness. And that really allows us to see the belief that is hiding in that morass of, this is just, you know, I intuitively know something.
Right.
Wrong word. But
right.
I mean, intuitively, but I just know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so deeply conditioned. Nobody has to say it to me. I know it's true. I know it's true, for God's sake. I'm not stupid. What you're saying, you're talking about, of course, the two-handed recording, right? So it's really letting that Pardon me?
Well, two-handed, or just pick up the recorder and talk about, I'm feeling vaguely ha-ha, or I don't feel it, whatever, and you just, it's what you've always said. Pick up the recorder and talk about just whatever's going on. It's that movement. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of a modified two-handed, right, because you're going to listen to it from a different place. But what struck me about what you're saying and what we've heard from people this morning already is, or this afternoon, depending on where you are, is that we're really reaching out to the person who is subjected to this misery, right? The person who listens to that and believes it and gets stuck in it and suffers over it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, and that becomes possible when you get out of the, when you realize you're being subject to it, right? And what you're being subject to. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. We could say, as we probably do, you know, pick up the recorder if you're unhappy, if things aren't going well. And then be sure to pick it up when you're happy and feeling grateful and expansive, because you want that too. That's the thing Chris was pointing at with the insight about interrupt, right? Mm-hmm. It lands somewhere, and we know that there's truth in that for us. We want to capture that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I think we have Helga back, so here we go. Let's give
it good.
A shot. Helga?
Hello?
Can
you hear me now?
Goody, loud and clear. Yep.
Sounding good. Oh, good. I can hear you too.
All right.
I just want to say it's so good to hear you guys' voices again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's good to hear all of us, isn't it? It's just it's like the best reunion ever.
Yeah, I've never participated in class reunions, but yeah, definitely. My favorite
reunion. This is a
reunion.
Good one. Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to say one thing that occurred to me when you were talking about, you know, you're comparing this, the coronavirus to the virus of the ego. You know, what occurred to me was, you know, they're talking about the people that don't even have symptoms. They're like the silent carriers and infect other people. And I felt, you know, it came to me that, you know, ego is just as infectious. Like one person comes from ego and the chances of somebody reacting with their ego are like very, very high. You know, and at the same time, if somebody comes from authenticity, the chances of that being infectious, I don't know how high they are, but, you know, there's a better chance for sure. So,
yes. Yes. Well,
and if noticed inside of myself.
Yeah. If we carry that really into the coronavirus, then the people who are being responsible, who are doing what the people who are studying this and have the most expertise are telling us to do, right? Social distancing, isolate, all of those kinds of things. Now, is that gonna produce the wonderful effect that we wish it would produce? We don't know. We have no idea. But we can do our best, which is the same as coming from authenticity or being in presence regardless of what's going on around us. We don't know that that's going to have an effect, but it's the best we can do.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, you know, and one thing that I thought about this morning, you know, for me, you know, I cook. So I go shopping, and, you know, usually I have like a kind of like a plan what I'm going to cook. And right now, you know, I can't have a plan because I have to go to the store and whatever is available, that's what I'm going to cook. And I realized, you know, I have that option. I can either get like really upset about how my plans are disrupted or there is like... There's like this,
I'm right with you.
Waking up, you know, I have to think on my feet. You know, this is what's
That's
here.
Right.
What can I do with it? And it's actually very enlightening, you know.
Oh, it's so important.
It wakes me up.
Yes, yes. And Helga, the thing that I'm so enthusiastic about with what you're saying is that's always the case. It's just that the voices in our head put us to sleep, because you could always just walk into the store and get what was ever on your list. So you didn't have to pay attention. You didn't have to be present. But it doesn't mean it was a good idea to live in unconsciousness. It's not good preparation for an emergency.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, So.
Yeah. Oh, it's so important. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, the other thing that to me ties in with what you're saying is that you might read as people are talking about this thing. One of the things that people are recommending as a way to get through this, which is an interesting orientation to life, right? How are we going to get through this? Which, again, is what's going on for most people all the time, is surviving the day, right?
To binge watch
television.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the recommendations.
Yeah.
Now, for us, of course, what we want to do is take advantage of all of this. Well, you don't have time to meditate. You don't have time. There's not space to record and listen.
Right.
You can't really catch up on the. Yeah, now we can. Now we can. And that's really positioning
us
where we want to live when this is over, which we hope one day it is.
Right. Yeah. And now I remember what I wanted to say. The other thing that occurred to me, I'm so reminded of, the whole process of being at the monastery, to be really aware of, wear my shoes and put these shoes on, take these shoes off. Now I have to wash my hands all the time. I'm actually wearing gloves now. Wear my gloves. It's just like this whole process of having to be really much more present.
Yes.
It just reminded me so much of being at the monastery. So I'm so glad to have a little bit of practice.
Right. So grateful that we have this under our belt, because starting from scratch in an emergency is a rough place to be. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad we got you back on. Yeah. Thank you, Helga.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, take care.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more caller here. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Who is this?
This is Tracy in Santa Cruz. I have 1 minute. Oh, that's perfect, I suppose.
We never know when we'll only have 1 minute.
I think I will use my minute to simply offer my gratitude for being with Sangha again. It's incredibly, incredibly nourishing to hear you and Ashwini, Sherry, and Sangha, and to break up the isolation and to turn to practice wholeheartedly. When I think about beginnings, I immediately, ego came up with beginnings of the end of days as if, despair. But almost immediately it went to beginning of the end of days as we have projected them. And the beginning of the end of days of making assumptions and giving authority to ego. And it feels so deeply like the invitation is really to, is to drop that narrative in the fiercest way possible.
Tracy, try that again. The invitation is to drop that. We lost you for a second.
Oh, to drop that ego narrative, to drop turning to ego. And to be as fierce as possible about tracking that. I mean, just the practice that we've had for forever to come to present moment. And as you said, it's simple but not easy.
Right. Because, Tracy, To me, the thing that's so important about that, the end of days for the world, who knows? But we're mm-hmm. each going to experience the end of days for us.
Right. Eventually.
Right? I mean, we know that's coming. And so how do we want to be with that?
Exactly.
What a brilliant opportunity for us to practice that so that
yes.
we know how to be really present and complete and living in gratitude and aware of, yeah, I could die in the next moment, but I'm really mm-hmm. alive now. And
yes.
I want to be really present to being alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
We're so,
yes.
Yeah. So
deep gassho.
Gassho to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, but there's a beginning for another assignment here. I just love what Tracy said. That's exactly right. There's always a beginning. And the beginning is
yes.
to be more fiercely present in this moment than
yes.
You know, we have the opportunity to have been before. But here's our assignment. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me.
Wait, Ashwini, yeah. Start over again. Can you start over again? You
sure.
were blipping out for me.
Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment: review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL what you see. Examples: planner, you should at least make your airline reservations. What if you don't get tickets for your dates? Busy, I don't have time to do the research I need to do. Wish someone else would do the heavy lifting for me. Go with the flow. Why plan? Perhaps I could just get there and be spontaneous. Overwhelmed, I can't face wading through all that data. I don't even know what to look for.
Darn.
Know it all. You know you're happier when you've done your research. Just do it.
Wow. All right, our assignment.
Our assignment. And we have time to do
time
it.
Time to begin.
Okay,
exactly.
All right. Thank
All
you,
right.
Sherry.
Thanks,
care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.